So this is what we term the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's kind of weird because the fourth Sunday of Advent and the in Advent happen on the same day, sort of. I mean, really, Advent is tomorrow, but nobody wanted to come back tomorrow. So we're doing Advent tonight, and then this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. So remember that we are using the candles up here, this Advent wreath candle setup, as a reminder of aspects of Christ's coming that are, I mean, the candles are a reminder for us. So the first candle that we had was the candle for hope. And that's always one that, excuse me, that's always one that's hard for us because we use hope the wrong way. I'm hoping to make it through the sermon this morning. It's not a settled thing. Jesus brings us hope that is settled. It's not going to go away. We know that we have a hope of eternal life. Love. And of course, his coming is a demonstration of his unconditional love for us. And then last week, we covered peace, the peace that we have first with God through Jesus Christ, and then the peace of God that comes into our life regardless of what's around us. And then today, we're dealing with another similar emotion, and this one today is called joy. So today, joy, that elusive emotion for some of us, or a state of settled living for us, a state of mind and heart that is just settled. And that's the challenge, much like hope, because we all have had joy in our life, right? Got an A on a test and I didn't study. Woo-wee! But that goes away really quick when the teacher comes back and says, oh, I'm sorry, that was supposed to have been an F. Oh, well. We're investigating this fourth candle today. We want to see what it is that we have as Christians that will get us through the tough times, that enables us to have this sense of settled joy that doesn't evaporate just because someone cuts me off or someone pops my bubble in some way or another. And though I don't look like it, emotions have a lot to do with what's going on in me. And so this intrigued me as I was starting to look at this again and remember, yeah, this joy, this isn't a joy that goes away and comes. This is a settled thing. So, to begin with, I did a little research. First thing, of course, is to look up a definition of joy. And I, you know, all of us could say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. But just listen for a minute. Joy, the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. Joy, that excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire, or some good possessed, or by a rational, like this one, a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. Not irrational, but rational. I don't know why they put it in there. Joy is the delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. Help? Well, you might say, maybe a little bit, but not really. So, of course, if you want information, you go to the wonderful wealth of the World Wide Web. And this is what I found on the World Wide Web with regards to joy. It was very enlightening. The first thing that came to my attention was an app for your telephone entitled Joy. guess what it does? It's the first and only money app that won't judge you for how you spend your money. All right, don't have to feel guilty. I can be happy. That doesn't work though if you're flat broke, does it? Then the money app doesn't make any difference at all. The second listing for Joy was Joy Essential Oil. It's a blend of Young Living's most inviting oils formulated to invite a sense of romance, bliss, and warmth when diffused. With Ylang Ylang, geranium, jasmine, palmarosa, and rose essential oil, Joy Oil has a fresh and floral aroma, which notes of citrus from the essential oils of bergamot, lemon, and tangerine. Sounds good, right? It goes on. Joy Essential Oil blend is perfect for diffusing or applying topically. In other words, don't drink this stuff. Members' favorite Joy Oil uses include diffusing it around the home for a pleasant, joyful aroma. Apply Joy Essential Oil blend topically and wear it as a fragrance to invite togetherness. And that would only mean that you enjoy the people that you're togethering with, right? And so on, always there. Well, it's available to you online, of course, for a mere $54 a bottle. A bottle. It's not a quart jar, a bottle. Okay? No doubt it is a delightful smell. But so sorry if you don't have the $54. No joy for you today. So, if that's not spendy enough for you, I've got a next one. The third source of joy is, Robert, the Norwegian cruise ship Joy. Woo! That baby just set sail this summer. Quite fantastic, huh? Well, listen, look at the aspects of this cruise ship that bring you joy. Next slide. Top deck, a racetrack. Woo! Next deck down, video arcade. Unbelievable. Another top deck feature, lovely, serene gardens. Ah, joy all over the place. And if that doesn't do it for you, this last one will. Shopping. Right? Duty free. All right. Thank you very much. So, but of course, no joy if you can't afford it or if you have problems with motion sickness. Then the cruise is not so much fun after all. Well, fifth one I found. It's a delightful Pixar movie entitled Inside Out. Yes, according to the trailer, joy is an emotion that lives inside your mind, get it, along with fear, anger, disgust, and sadness. These are all joined together. Isn't it wonderful? Joy is portrayed by this delightful, bright, bouncy girl who invades your life when everything is going your way. It is an unstoppable spirit and an unbeatable energy that you get. Of course, until someone comes along and pops your balloon, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, or tells you you're an idiot for the way you're acting just because you're full of joy. Well, so much for joy in that realm. We'll go to the next slide. Phew. Okay. Politics is a source of joy, isn't it? Many people are looking for joy through a Messiah, somebody coming to rescue them. Well, we thought that we had found joy last November when we elected a certain individual. So there are a number of people who do get joy out of that. there's a number of other people who are anticipating joy in 3 years when there's another election. And then there's the question of what it is that we're looking for this Savior to do for us that would bring us joy. And these are serious. Remove ethnic hatred. Do away with class distinctions. Equal health care for everyone. How about forcing the 1% to part with their money and give it to the rest of us so that we can have what they have earned? How about forcing radical Muslims to stop hating us innocent Americans? How about forcing us Americans to stop hating Muslims, but treat them as Jesus would? Oh, this is starting to sound like a sermon now. When we go back in the Bible, we realize that in Jesus' time, before he came, they were looking for a similar Messiah, someone who they thought would bring them joy because he was going to get rid of the Romans. He was going to do away with the oppressor. Well, as you can see, no one, including Santa Claus, is going to be able to bring us the joy that we're looking for, that we find in Scripture. So in order to get this, we've got to delve into a little bit deeper again the account of Christ's birth, those things leading up to it. Because I think as we look at those, you're going to see some aspects of joy that will help us to grow in how we experience God's joy during this time of year. So let's spend, first of all, some time looking at the faces of joy. The first place that we want to look is in the Gospel of Luke. So if you have a scripture with you or on your phone, why flip there? We're going to be looking at the account of a gentleman by the name of Zechariah. He was a priest in the temple, going into the temple to worship there. And Zechariah and his wife had no children. They were elderly. And that I take elderly to be at least 70 years old, perhaps older than that. I'm not 70 yet, so thus the choice of years there. Zechariah comes into the temple. This is quite the privilege for this man. And while he's there, verse 11 of chapter 1 of Luke says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure that this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. Wow. What an interesting account. This man, Zechariah, gets this story. And the birth that he and his wife are going to experience isn't even the birth of the Messiah. It's only the birth of the one who's going to prepare the way, who's going to announce the coming Messiah. And they're saying, the angel says to Zechariah, you will have great joy and gladness because of this child that you are going to have. The announcement of the long-awaited coming Messiah through their son, John. I see in Zechariah the face of joy mixed with doubt. Because as you may know, he says, I don't know. And the angel says, because you doubt, you will not speak until this child is born. What doubts do you struggle with? Where is it that you might wonder, is this really who we're looking for? Is this the Messiah, the one who will rescue me? He hasn't gotten me out of trouble yet. I still have difficulties. Let's go on. As this account continues on, we see this young girl, Mary, who has a visitor as well. Gabriel again coming to say, hey, you're going to have a baby. Mary says, wait a minute. I haven't had a relationship with a man. I don't intend to have a relationship with a man to where I could have a baby. The angel says, oh, no, you don't understand. You're going to have a baby by the power of the Holy Spirit who is going to come upon you. This account then begins to raise this situation to a whole new level, because the angel says the baby that you're going to bear is going to be holy. Now, you who have had babies may have thought that they were holy until their little sin nature showed up not too much after birth. For those of you who don't believe that, well, we'll talk later. This child is going to be holy, set apart, perfect. And this child is called the Son of God. And you could have some nice names for your boys, but don't ever call him Son of God, okay? She, not knowing who to talk to, hears about Elizabeth, her cousin, and who's also going to have a baby. And she says, well, where else do I go? If the angel's telling me about this one and this one, I think it's worth me going to see Elizabeth, because I think we've got some camaraderie going here. So, continuing on in the account, in verse 42 then of chapter 1, Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house, and verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Now, this is the woman who, at 70 plus year old, is finally having a baby. She wanted a baby for so long, and finally she's having a baby. And what is she saying? Your baby, Mary, is the blessed one. Elizabeth, what's going on? Well, the truth is that Elizabeth understands something. Verse 43, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. This is great cause for joy, the announcement of this coming child. These two women get to join together. But think about it in today's terms. A 70-plus-year-old woman going to have a baby. Oh, not too many people at that age are rejoicing at that thought, okay? Whether you could even do it, still not a cause for rejoicing. What about a teenage girl who is a godly girl? She goes to youth group. She wants to follow Jesus. Well, that kind of tips the hand here. She wants to do what's right. She wants to marry a godly young man and have children after they get married. And now she's pregnant and it's not even her fault. She hasn't done anything wrong. This would make it on Fox 40. nightly news, and they would interview Mary and Elizabeth, and they would interview the neighbors, and they would interview the family, and we would all get to put in our emotional responses to this. And then the camera turns off, and the news crew leaves, and we have an old lady and a teenage girl left all alone. And the only hope that they have, the only encouragement, is that they can share their joy together between the two of them. And that's what these ladies are doing. There's no Fox News there. All they have is each other. Because of this angel's message, these two women together in fellowship are finding joy. They're finding that as they share together what is coming, they indeed have joy. Now, go with me now to the first Christmas night, chapter 2 of Luke. And we see there that the baby has been born, and the only ones who were awake are the shepherds out in the fields. Tom was challenging us to kind of put this in present day setting, and I thought, who is it that's got probably about the most miserable job around? And I thought, it's the guy who has to work the graveyard shift in Oregon at the gas station and has to come out and pump your gas on a cold, miserable night because he has to do it. You don't have to get out of your car. You get to stay warm. He has to go out and get cold. You know how come I know that's such a miserable job? I did it. Okay, Luke 2, verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The shepherds go. They find the baby just as they had been told. They told Mary about and Joseph about the angel. And when they left, they went out and told everybody what they had seen. And as we have talked in the past, not very many people probably believed them because of their reputation. But it goes on to say, verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. And it can only be because they are filled with joy for what they had seen and heard, just as the angel had said. And I was thinking about this, and this one is very interesting and dear to me because this says to me that this joy in these guys' face comes to ordinary stiffs. You and I, just people who live in a little community, in a little county, who just going on our way every day, and yet Jesus, the news of this baby, comes to them just as we can have the same news and we can enjoy the same truth. This joy then can be ours, even though we're ordinary, even though we're not so special. We are still part of God's redemption plan. So these are the faces of joy. So what is the source and the ground of their joy? So as we search, begin to look here I want you now to flip back with me to Matthew chapter 1, because there's some important pieces to this puzzle for the source and ground of joy that we experience as we look at this story. When you look back there to Matthew chapter 1, and this then is the account of the angel visiting Joseph. Verse 18 there. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. First, notice that Joseph is to name the baby Jesus. This is actually a name from the Old Testament. It's the name Joshua, and the literal definition definition, I guess you'd say, of this is Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves, or the God of the Old Testament who created everything saves. Now, we can name a baby Joshua, and sure, Jehovah saves, and we're acknowledging that. But the angel goes on and identifies for us what this child is going to save us from. Jehovah will save us, this child will save us from our sins. The angel from heaven tells us what his job is going to be. The source and ground for our joy is that there's one who is going to rescue us from the one thing that no technology, no political person, no oils, nothing can save us from. And that is from the guilt and punishment that what we have done wrong deserves. Okay? We can punish ourselves, but that doesn't solve the problem with regards to God. Our joy is that this one who's coming will save us from our sins. But go on. In that next section in verse 23 there, it says that this child is to be called Emmanuel, which is God is with us. This is even more startling than the first name. God himself is going to invade this planet. God did invade this planet in the form of Jesus. Now we think of an invasion usually as destruction, right? No, he's invading to save, to rescue us. The grounds for our joy now is that today God is not an absentee God. He didn't check out. He's not an old rocking chair God just watching the world as it winds down and finishes up its course. He's not a weak God that says, I don't know what to do. I can't help these people. But it's the God of the universe who invades our world and sets in place the means through a person, the means for our rescue from this sin, death, and destruction that we deserve. Do you know the source? Do you know this ground for hope? The one who brings us joy? I found a video online, and while I was looking for joy, I actually found something worthwhile. It was a 10-minute video by a well-known preacher, John Piper, and he describes five essential elements to biblical joy. He says, number one, it's a good feeling. Well, John Piper, I know that already. Okay, it is a good feeling. But then he goes on and he says, that moves in your soul. And I take that to be deeper than my emotions that flit in and out of my body. They just come and go. This is something to me that's settled. Moves in your soul. And then he says, it's produced by the Holy Spirit, God living in us. And it's produced by the Holy Spirit who causes you and I to see the glory and beauty of Jesus, to be able to see this glory that never fades, that never goes away. If it fades, it fades because we lose sight of who Jesus is, not because His glory fades. And it's the glory of Jesus whom we see in Scripture and who we see in creation. The source for our joy then, in addition to the fact that we know our sins are forgiven, are because the Holy Spirit works in us. Do you remember there's a passage later on that Paul quotes and in Galatians, or that Paul writes in Galatians that we quote at times, and he talks about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives in those who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have taken Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit invades our lives and He begins to work and He begins to produce fruit, different forms of fruit, evidence of His work in our lives. And the evidence of His work in our lives are these qualities: love, second one is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The list blows me away. There is not one of those fruit that is not necessary in my life. These fruit don't come naturally. I don't have this stuff growing in me automatically. It is only by the work of God in me that these things even exist in my life at all. And one of those fruit is joy. And so I know or can tell how much I am allowing the Spirit of God to work in me and produce fruit, in part by the joy that I have as I consider what God has done for me. So, what do you think? If I don't feel joy, is it okay? My circumstances are bad. I'm an emotional person. I can't always feel joy. My sense of joy, happiness, contentment disappear because of a grouchy clerk. You know, the McDonald's girl was mean to me and she threw the fries at me today, you know. Somebody cut me off in traffic and all of a sudden my joy is out the window. No. I want you to look at a couple of quick examples of biblical joy sourced from the Spirit of God. So I looked at this dilemma and I came across a couple of valuable truths. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. There it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated at the place of honor besides God's throne. Let's not get bogged down with the cloud of witnesses today, okay? There's a bunch in this section. But I want you to focus on the matter that Jesus had the end goal in mind. He goes through, he knows he's going to go through the pain, the crucifixion, the humiliation, the rejection, the abandonment by God, the Father. But he's willing to do it because he can see the goal at the end, and the goal brings him joy. The goal that brings him joy is my salvation, saving, rescuing those that he created. So, like Jesus, I can work at maintaining my joy if I will keep my focus on what's ahead, what he's got for me out there at the end. That regardless of how bad things are here today, and they're really not all that bad for us, but let's just pretend they're really terrible, I can have joy because the goal out there is eternity with him. Remember the passage in James that we covered earlier this year when we went through the book of James? I got to preach that first section, James chapter 1. It says there, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." James, you are nuts. "When many troubles come my way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." He says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." My joy is that as I go through the difficulties, my faith is tested and I find that God is faithful and I'm learning to be faithful to him and hang on to him, that more and more I can say, "God, you are who you said you are, and your promises are true in my life. I can go on." So keep in mind the end, keep in mind the growth in your relationship with him. And as we do, this joy of ours is going to grow. Our joy will no longer be based on our surroundings. Our joy is going to be based on our relationship with God in our heart through the Spirit of God as we see Jesus and we see his beauty. And so as we go through the very end of Christmas season, but of course living on from there because we live on day by day with him, we can celebrate his birth with joy, knowing that Jesus came for me and that he continues to live with me and in me by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy that you have given us, the joy that you have granted to us through your Spirit, that we might be able to enjoy what you have done for us with great wonder, considering what you went through for our sake. And as we do, we indeed can enjoy this and rejoice in what you have done in our lives. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this season of the year when we can again stop and reflect more carefully on who you are and what you have done for us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name.